From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. While the wrangling around and the shooting in Syria continues, and at the United Nations, blame is being placed across the board, with the U.S. and Russia charging each other with creating the conditions that cause such suffering in the country that there are at least 9 million Syrian refugees, a leaked report shows that U.S. sanctions have had a heavy hand in imposing suffering on the people of Syria. We have this report from RT.
An internal UN report leaked to the online publication The Intercept has strongly criticized Western sanctions on Syria. It says they're punishing the country's population and hampering aid work. EU and US sanctions were most recently imposed on Syria back in 2011 in an attempt to force President Assad to step down. They include trade restrictions. Among them is a ban on exporting oil. That's hit Syria the hardest. Revenues from oil sales previously accounted for around 20% of Syrian GDP. European and American banks also froze Syrian government assets, as well as stopping all financial dealings with Syrian state-owned banks. Well, according to the author, the sanctions are extremely harsh when it comes to the provision of humanitarian aid. And bureaucratic procedures discourage many organizations from working in Syria. Let's take a look at what was said here in our news wall. Even the United Nations itself is prevented from delivering certain necessary medical supplies. The report also says that those restrictions on Syrian banks have led to the creation of an unofficial network of money exchange, often used by terrorists. We spoke to Rania Kalik, to whom the report was leaked.
I asked the State Department their response to the fact that the UN is saying that these sanctions are the most extreme and far-reaching that have been imposed of any sanctions regime they could think of. And the response was that any humanitarian issues that have arisen in Syria are all to be blamed on the Syrian government. I don't even know if these sanctions benefit the U.S. because I don't think the U.S. knows what its end game is. These sanctions, if anything, are benefiting the regime in some ways because it's just making people more dependent on the government than they otherwise would be. I really can't see in the grand scheme of things who these sanctions benefit. They're hurting the Syrian economy. They're destroying the Syrian economy. You know, people can't pay their aid workers and they end up having to shut down various programs or not deliver various items that are desperately needed. And in the case of groups like al-Nusra and ISIS, of course, it's easier for them or any other criminal really to be, messing with funds or even embezzling or, getting money to places that they shouldn't be going to, whether it's to terrorist groups or other criminal gangs.
Meanwhile, at the United Nations last Thursday, the permanent representative of Syria, Bashar al-Jaafari, had a press encounter and detailed from his perspective exactly what's going on in his country.
Could you please adjust the... Yes, please. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to make some comments on today's session of the Security Council, as well as on the briefings given in this session by some high-level officials of the United Nations. But before doing that, I would like to share with you this information. The American jets, fighter jets, have bombed today and destroyed completely two civilian bridges linking the two parts, the two banks of the city of Deir Zor. the two main bridges used by hundreds of thousands of civilians residing in the city of Deir Zor were destroyed, bombed and destroyed completely by the American fighter jets. These two bridges are Al-Ashara Bridge and Al-Mayadin Bridge, located in the countryside of Deir Zor. This attack repeats another ugly attack, appalling attack, criminal attack against the Syrian military position in the mountain of Al-Tharda in Deir Zor. So it seems that the American fighter jets got obsessed with the city of Deir Zor. This act in itself confirms what we have repeatedly said many times, that the American administration's policy towards my country is not based in any way on the so-called humanitarian assistance on one hand, as well as on combating terrorism on the other hand. The truth is that after 2 years of claiming and alleging combating terrorism in Syria and Iraq, including fighting against ISIS, the terrorism of ISIS has spread all over Iraq and Syria and went beyond these two countries. Now, thanks to the wrongdoings of the American policies towards my country and towards Iraq, the terrorists of ISIS have spread to all over the world. We all remember that a year ago, when the meetings and gatherings of the ISSG started in Geneva, the Syrian government, as well as the Russians and the Iranians and other friends within the ISSG, kept asking the American administration to separate what they consider armed opposition moderate groups, genetically modified, as you know, from Al-Nusra Front. The only answer we got from the American side was that either, as Kerry said a year ago, we cannot separate them, or we don't have the will, the political will, to do so. We add to this injury another insult, which goes back, as you remember, to the outcomes of the implementation of the outcomes of Vienna II conference. When this conference asked the Jordanians to come up with the list designating who is terrorist and who is not, and asked the Saudi government to come up with the list designating who is opposition and who is not. Both of them failed to implement this commitment. The result was that we went to Geneva again for the intra-Syrian talks, and we hit ourselves to this dilemma. We didn't have answers, who is opposition and who is not. We didn't have answers, who is terrorist and who is not. So once again, we have had a serious problem with identifying who are the terrorists backed by the some powerful forces in the area, and who are the so-called moderates backed by the Americans. Finally, it seems that there is no difference between this group or that group. We are all fighting the same kind of terrorists, whether they are called Al-Nusra Front, or ISIS, or Jaish al-Fatah, or Sultan Murad, or whatever. All these labels apply to the same mind of terrorism, Al-Qaeda. The American administration has claimed for decades that they are fighting Al-Qaeda. They started in Afghanistan. They ended up by invading, wrongly speaking, by mistake, Iraq, and then Libya, and then they think that they could do the same to Syria. Never, ever, they will be able to achieve this carnage in Syria. Never, ever. Syria is not Iraq, Syria is not Libya. This is the whole tricky point. We should all understand that the plan is to repeat exactly in Syria, maybe in a worse scenario, what they did in Iraq and Libya. And elsewhere, Nicaragua, Yugoslavia, you name it. So this is why the Syrian government is combating terrorism. Syrian government is not bombing civilians. These people are our own people. We don't bomb civilians. We don't kill civilians. We don't bomb humanitarian convoy. We don't do that. Those who did it are the terrorists, and the Americans and their British allies and French allies, they know that. They know that for sure. Especially when we know that the French fighter jets also bombed the city of Manbij in the countryside of Aleppo and killed 200 civilians, women and children. But they don't shed the crocodile tears on what they did in Manbij. They don't shed the crocodile tears on what they did in all over Syria since the beginning of the crisis 5 years ago. They are keeping killing civilians, and they are keeping imposing economic sanctions, unilateral coercive economic measures against my people. And then on the same time, they claim that they are, you know what, we want to help the Syrians through what they call humanitarian assistance. How come you are punishing 23 million Syrians by these coercive economic unilateral measures on one hand, and then claiming that you want to help them on the other hand? You cannot accumulate a hell and a heaven together while dealing with the humanitarian assistance to the Syrian people. We don't need a humanitarian assistance. We need to put an end to this terrorist war imposed against us. We did not choose this war. It is an imposed terrorist war against the Syrian people and the Syrian government. So the issue for us is not about declaring a cessation of hostility in Aleppo for 48 hours, or 24 hours, or 1 week, or 7 days, or 10 days. This is not the main issue. The main issue for us is how to stop this terrorist war against our country. We are a sovereign member of the United Nations. And this war against us is unprecedented, as you know. Unprecedented. The Americans and their allies established what they call an international alliance, which is illegitimate because it wasn't based on a Security Council resolution, and they did not consult with the Syrian government, and we did not request for it. So the violation of our sovereignty is multiple faceted. It's not only one violation. It's a violation. It's a series of violations accumulated one upon the other. And they claim they got hysterical organizing meetings on Syria every day. Yesterday, two meetings in one day. They got hysterical trying to mislead the public opinion about what's going on in my country. people who are not professional, they think that the issue is about how to send humanitarian convoys to the eastern part of the city of Aleppo, where 250,000 civilians are taken hostages, human shields by the terrorists. It's really shameful to hear the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs saying that the opening crossing gates for the civilians to leave the eastern part of Aleppo is not genuine and is not doable and workable. This is wrong. This is wrong because we opened 4 crossing gates for the civilians to leave the area, but the terrorists are taking these thousands of people hostages and using them as a humanitarian human shields. So something is wrong in this way of dealing with what's going on in Syria. The Syrian government is facing ISIS, and we are combating ISIS. We are combating al-Nusra Front. We are combating hundreds of terrorist groups, all of them created by allies of the United States, Saudis, Turks, Qataris, whatever. And this is not a secret anymore. The mask has fallen down. The Security Council and the Secretary General have full information about what I'm saying. We have forwarded hundreds of letters to every single man in this organization to understand what's going on in Syria. And they still, some people in the council still insist on dealing, partially speaking, with what is called, commonly speaking, the Syrian crisis. This is why I said, and I am repeating myself, what we need is a genuine move from the Western countries and the Security Council towards putting an end to this terrorist war imposed against my country. Because, as you know, according to this German journalist yesterday, von Jürgen Tudenhofer, he's a German journalist, he's not a Syrian journalist, he met with al-Nusra Front leader and he told him that al-Nusra Front, which is a terrorist entity according to the Security Council, is receiving weapons, artillery, tanks, and shoulder missiles against planes from Western countries. Al-Nusra Front leader is acknowledging that this terrorist entity is receiving weapons, heavy weapons, from Western countries. So something is wrong. We have an ethical problem with some people in the Security Council. We have a moral problem. It's not a political problem. These people are big liars. They are misleading the public opinion everywhere in the world. They killed millions of Iraqis and they didn't get the lesson. They killed millions of Libyans. They didn't get the lesson. All what they know to do is how to dismantle countries, how to destroy states. This is all what they know. Repeating the same mistakes one after the other. And they don't get it. They don't get it. Thousands of killed in Syria, hundreds of thousands of refugees and displaced persons, and then the American ambassador called for an urgent meeting to discuss the suffering of gays in Iraq and Syria. Is this the crisis in Syria? Is it about the suffering of one gay from al-Mosul in Iraq and another gay from Idlib in Syria? It's a shame. It's a shame. Yes.
Thank you. Given the reality as you described in eastern parts of Aleppo, what do you think, what's your proposal to solve the situation there? And do you still, are you still committed to defeat all the so-called terrorists? I don't know, this is, there is no agreement on this. By military force or how in Syria?
According to the constitution According to the UN Charter, according to the principles of international law, the Syrian government has the obligation to combat the terrorists wherever they are on the Syrian soil, and to free this land from these bloody, bloodthirsty groups. So yes, we will be committed, we will continue our commitment to combat the terrorists wherever they are. Second, the solution, we need a genuine assistance to the Syrian government while combating the terrorists. We don't need fake assistance. We don't need a fake criticism of the Syrian government. We need a genuine approach towards helping the Syrian government and the Russians and the Iranians and all those who are fighting terrorists with us towards eradicating this threat from the Syrian territory. So the issue is, for us, is very clear and very transparent. People are not genuine when they speak about combating terrorists. People are not genuine when they speak about helping the Syrian people through what they call the angle of the humanitarian assistance, because they are not genuine. They are creating the problems. Why people are leaving Syria and becoming refugees here and there? Why? What is the reason? Why millions of Syrians have become displaced within their own country? It's because the destruction of the infrastructure. It's because of the unilateral coercive economic measures imposed on the Syrian people. It's because of that. People are seeking a better livelihood. They are not leaving Syria because they are against their own government. They are leaving because they need to survive. Thank you. Yes, please.
Yesterday, a Syrian army general told AP that the specific military goal of the current operation in Aleppo is to completely wipe out the groups that your government calls terrorists. Is this true? Is the goal is to...
Don't get lost into the details. Don't get lost into the details. Look at the picture in its comprehensiveness and in its entirety. The issue for us is to combat terrorism, as I said. Whatever the label is, these people change their labels every day, like the snake, change its skins. So the issue is not about the details. The issue is about the headline. The Syrian government is combating terrorism. When you are a peaceful, civilian, unarmed opposition, you don't recurse to terrorism. When you are an opponent, you do your opposition, you express your opposition through peaceful means. You don't hold weapons against the government. You don't destroy infrastructure. You don't work for Israel and for the enemies of your own nation. Syrian national opposition is a necessity for us, but it should be national opposition. National opposition, not agents working for Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, France, Britain, and USA.
It's been reported widely that at least 100,000 of the 250,000 civilians who are currently, some would say, trapped in East Aleppo are children. And we've seen reports of many children who have been victims of the bombings. So, number one, I'd like you to confirm or deny that children are being disproportionately impacted by the current bombings in East Aleppo, and secondly, could you tell us the sources of the bombings in East Aleppo? Is it from...
Thank you so much.
All right.
When the Russian-American agreement was declared on September the 9th, if you remember that, everybody was hopeful that this agreement would lead to some kind of cessation of hostilities, even for 7 days. But the same day, the main 20 terrorist groups operating in Aleppo and Idlib, the main 20 terrorist groups issued a statement, a joint statement, saying that they are against the cessation of hostilities and that they will not observe the Russian-American agreement, which was supported by the Syrian government, by the way, as you know, after consulting with us in advance. So 20 main terrorist groups operating in Aleppo and Idlib issued a public statement, you can read it, saying that they will not respect the Russian-American agreement. And these terrorists are the same who attacked the humanitarian convoy going to Oram al-Kubra in Aleppo. So it is not a dilemma. I mean, when you are involved into this scene, you would jump to the conclusion very easily. It's not a secret. It's not a dilemma to connect, you know, the information one with the other. Among these 20 terrorist groups are Jabhat al-Nusra, which the Americans are claiming that they are fighting against it. But they are not. They are not. Al-Nusra Front, Jaish al-Fatah, which is supported by the Turks and the Qataris, as you know, and other groups supported by the Saudis. The three of them, the three governments of Turkey, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, declared also in their turn that they would not support the Russian-American agreement. So is it so difficult to jump to the conclusion? This is what's going on. Many children in Eastern Aleppo, of course there are children. Of course. There are children everywhere in Syria. There are children dying because of the economic sanctions imposed by USA and Europe. There are children dying because of the terrorist explosions here and there. There are children who are dying because of the blind bombings by the fighter jets of civilian targets in Syria. So please look at the picture in its entirety. The Syrian government has the duty to protect its own people, by all means.
In the wake of the latest events you were talking about, the attack on the 17th of September on the Syrian army, the convoy attack,
and the two bridges.
Do you think it's actually possible, the effective ceasefire in Syria, is it possible? And in this sense, do you think that it's the return to meaningful negotiations is possible in the current situation?
I spent myself, in my capacity as head of the Syrian government, Syrian Arab Republic's delegation to the Geneva intra-Syrian talks, I spent 5 hours trying to convince the special envoy de Mistura about getting back to Geneva on the 13th of May instead of the 12th. 5 hours negotiating with de Mistura whether we should get back on the 12th or on the 13th of May. And now we are on the 29th of September. And Mr. de Mistura hasn't yet gotten the green light from the influential guys to call for resuming these intra-Syrian talks. And he is still unable to kick away from Geneva talks the terrorists, those who are backed by the Americans and their allies. Which ceasefire?
The ceasefire, is it possible in the current circumstances?
The issue is bigger than the ceasefire. This is what I was saying to one of your colleagues when I said, please don't get lost into the details. We don't need a cessation of hostilities for 48 hours. We need an eternal cessation of hostilities in Syria. We need to put an end to this terrorist war imposed on the Syrian people. We don't deal with the Syrian crisis in the smallest details of this crisis. We want a global solution. We want a global approach. We want a genuine global approach. Genuine. Because people here, some of them, are not genuine. Thank you so much.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.